Hey, hey, all you technology fans, it's that time of the week one more time for Trending Mobile Technology with Piper the DJ. This is episode 47, and it'll be available for download on 12 August 2013, right here on the Trending Topics Network. Please note, we do have a new .com address. That is trendingtopicsnetwork.com. We've moved away from Blog Talk Radio, and we got lots of new stuff going on. Make sure you check in with the network every week, folks. We got new stuff coming in. We got MJR's Real News. We got the Spanish Announce Table with Captain Awesome and T-Mac. We got T-Mac on here with his MMA show. We've got Old School at the Movies. And as always, I am here with you as well. Getting right into it. We got lots of stuff to get into because I want to talk about next week some more because I got other things going on and moving on quickly and everything else. The Moto X. We broke that down last week, talked about it quite a bit. Here's the headline coming in from Big Red, Verizon, for those playing the home game. Quote, Moto X will have unlockable bootloader on most carriers. Verizon will get the developer edition. Now, here's what this means. Samsung produced a Google Edition device with the S4. HTC produced a Google Edition with the HTC One. The new Nexus is supposed to be cross-platform or cross-carrier, take your pick. The new Moto X is supposed to be developer edition for Verizon, which Verizon does have a very big habit of offering developer edition devices. Just Google a Verizon developer contract and you will see they've done it with the iPhone, they've done it with numerous Samsung devices, they've done it with numerous Windows devices, etc. They're looking for developers. And the thing is, though, here's the catch. If you sign that developer agreement and anything happens to your phone, guess what? You're screwed. This developer agreement is not for the light at heart. You have to know what you're doing. You have to know what you're talking about. You have to be able to work your way around, within and around, upside, downside, and whichever different direction in the developer package. If you just sign this thing and you wind up bricking your phone because of something stupid, it's your own fault. Okay, but it will be an unlockable bootloader. It's not supposed to be proprietary, like they were saying. A lot of devices are coming out with lockdown bootloaders, you know, and everything like that. But see, here's even the more interesting aspect of it. Because, remember, I want to say it was about January, February, when I was talking about how here in the United States, they were going to say, oh, it's illegal to unlock your phone. Then they came around and said, well, you know, if you own your device, they can't really stop it. Yeah. There's not really anything they can do to lock down your device 100%. The developer community is spontaneous enough to where they will jump on something. And, you know, they'll get all over it. And they'll understand and educate and advise the community. And it'll just move forward from there. Now, those of you Android users, if you're diehard out there, Android Device Manager has the ability now to locate your lost device. There's plenty of third-party apps out there. One of my favorites is Where's My Droid, or WMD, for those who are no familiar with the acronym. Well, now Google has made one available in a Google Device Manager, and here's the way it works. If you lose your phone, you can look it up. Provided the fact GPS is enabled, you can look it up through the internet. You can do a remote wipe all through in the name of this application, etc. Couple things though, you'll remember back, I want to say about a year and a half ago with iOS 6 when they announced it. Some of the iCloud services and capabilities and stuff like that. Remember the guy that had his account hijacked? Yeah, I can just see there being problems with this. It's a first release, and so far I haven't seen or heard anything too awful bad or ugly about it. There's a few different reviews that are out there, a couple hands-on device, the remote wipe. You know, one says They took the Nexus 7 and wiped it so that you don't have to. You know, just various things like that. You know, and it's showing, quote, for now, hit the brakes and look at the process. This should satisfy your curiosity without wiping your own precious data away, but it is a good first attempt. Okay, that came from the boys over at Android Central. You know, as far as I'm concerned, if it's something that you want to do, something that you feel you need to do, go ahead. But if you already have a process in place, give it a build or two. Okay, I'm interested in switching over to this, but not yet. New platform numbers are out for July 2013. Jelly Bean is over 40%, Gingerbread's at 33%, and everything under Gingerbread is dropping down, let's see here, less than 5% for the remaining. Okay, so 4.0, or 4X for those playing the build game, now on 63% of your Android devices. That's pretty good. I mean, you can't beat it. 63% overall for 4X, and 4.3, obviously it hasn't been out enough, but, you know, that'll start getting in there and making its own way around as well. Last week, the LG G2 had their special event. Here's the way this breaks down. We got a 2.26 Qualcomm Snapdragon 800 quad-core CPU. Got a 5.2-inch display. We have 2 gigs of memory. We have 13 megapixels in the back, 2 megapixels in the front, 3,000 milliamp battery, 422, and it comes in black and white. Couple questions come to mind. Yeah, sure, this is supposed to be the rival to the Note 2. And yeah, sure, the screen isn't as big, but you got the PPI that's kind of there. It's 423 PPI. They're citing that it's supposed to have better than average battery life. They're also citing that it's supposed to have some pretty decent processor capability. But here is the funny thing. It only comes in 16 and 32, all right? But no note of an SD. So it is coming out at less than $200, though. So, I mean, if you're one of those where, you know, there's a lot of people that are out there that want LG to do this. They want LG to make a dent. They want LG to make that step forward. They want LG to succeed. And this is just another way for them to do that. So, you know, where's our LG going with this? Yeah, it was supposed to be the big thing to beat off the Note 2, but after looking at these specs and seeing the actual press release, I'm thinking it's just something to combat the S4. If you have a different opinion, holler back, let me know, and we can move forward from there. Now, 4.3 has started its rollout a little bit at a time here and there, but here's the big thing that's coming out that isn't actually necessary with a 4.3 buildup. Textbooks. They announced it at the great big Google press event not too long ago, where the Play Store was going to start renting or selling textbooks, whether it be for high school, college, or university level. And they have started to show up. Now, granted, the library isn't as large as some of the other ones that are out there, okay? But they are starting to show up. So Google is starting to move forward with some of their promises, you know, coming in with some of the things that they said that they were going to start doing. They're starting to make these advancements, starting to make these little subtle changes, starting to make these little things, you know, come to pass that they said. Now, granted, they've got some catch-up to do to catch up to Amazon and, like, Chegg and some of the other ones, but they are making these steps, okay? They're getting there slowly, but they're getting there. So, you know, give them a little bit of credit. They are making one step at a time. They are moving forward. Now, I will tell you something. With coordination or in association with this, I went and registered my boy for school last week. And one of the things that they're doing in this district, or one of the things that they've done actually, they started it last year. Every student gets a notebook Wi-Fi book, okay? Utilizes cloud resources, cuts down on textbooks, cuts down on all that other stuff. Now, granted, if something happens to it, then you've got to replace the laptop, okay? But it is starting to move there. A lot of teachers are starting to design their own curriculum for their classes. They can rent textbooks and make them available. You know, the cloud resources, they're becoming better and better every year, every season, every semester. And this is, okay, next week, Mr. Old School and I, we're squaring off right here on Trending Mobile Technology. We're going to have Dropbox versus Google Docs, and it'll be done. This will be the final round. This will be it. We're going to put Dropbox versus Google and, you know, move on with it. I'm looking forward to it. I always enjoy having good conversation with Old School, okay? And he and I remember first time he showed up on my show, he and I were talking about the Pixel. And, you know, he said, drop it down to about $200, $150, $200, you know, and make it a notebook. And you know, that's a good idea. I understand that 100%. But, you know, the whole thing is these resources are coming to pass. They're happening now. They have to. I mean, it's already started. Some places are doing it. They're doing it here. And it surprised me. But it's happening and it's coming through. So, you know, tune in next week. Old School and I'll be here. It's bound to be good radio. He and I always have fun talking tech. You know, we don't get on each other's nerves about it, but it is always good fun. And it's always sharing the knowledge, and that is definitely something that I appreciate. So, you know, textbooks, they're definitely coming into play. Services, they're moving in. They're getting more popular. I mean, the college students, the university students, even some of the grade school students, they're getting accustomed to not having that tactile experience like some of your old schoolers are. Okay, and it's nothing. It's no pun to old school. I'm just saying your old school students, some of your boomers. You know, I talk to a lot of different people. I'm like, well, where's your textbook? Well, it's on my computer. Well, you know, some of them, they got to feel that paper. They got to be able to experience that tactile experience. You know, some of them, they don't need that. Others, they do, and you know, to each their own. But I'm just saying, things are moving forward. So, you know, we're going to keep an eye on that. I'm excited to see, you know, I've been trying to reduce my paper footprint for about a year or so. And not having to worry about lugging around textbooks. Hey, I'll go for that. You know, I got no problem with that at all. I've been looking for electronic textbooks for almost 2 years, to be honest. You know, every time I go and I buy books or rent books, I check and see if there's electronic textbooks available as well. And sometimes there is, sometimes there isn't. But, you know, you do what you can with what you have. AT&T has gone in. Remember how a couple weeks ago we talked about their Next program? Yeah, AT&T has gone in and dropped the prices. Now, granted, it's still a scam. It's still a ripoff. It's still non-competitive. But overall, instead of paying about $700 for your device, you'll pay about $600. So that's the short answer to that one. AT&T is looking to find a way to shave off a little bit or catch up a little bit more to the T-Mobile trend, and they're not really, it's not really happening that way. You know, if you understand the terms, you want to jump in, now's the time. You can save a little bit of money, but I mean, if you really look at it and you really think about it, you know, what you really want to do is go and switch over to T-Mobile. I mean, that's just all there is to it. They're the cheapest one on it. Yeah, sure. You know, they might not have LTE everywhere, but I mean, there was a recent story that came out. T-Mobile beat Big Red when it came to customer support and affordability when it comes to using a smartphone. I don't know how many times I got to say it, folks. I'm a prime example. You know, I've got 12 gigs of high-speed wireless on my device. I pay $70 a month. Can't argue with it. I have Sprint users come up to me all the time. Oh, I don't want to lose my unlimited plan. Well, you know, when do you start getting throttled? Huh? It's in there, okay? Sprint does not offer a truly unlimited plan. They'll tell you it's truly unlimited, but I guarantee if you look in your TOS, you'll find in there where it'll be 3G, 4G, up to a certain amount, and that's when you'll get throttled. I mean, it's for Sprint to make a harebrained move like that would not be smart for them. I mean, yeah, sure, truly unlimited, okay. I know Verizon had a truly unlimited about a year ago, and that is truly unlimited. Now, granted, you don't have tethering, and you can't do like Wi-Fi support or Wi-Fi direct or anything like that. You know, sorry. You know, it's my device. I want to be able to use it the way I want to. I can tether. I can do Wi-Fi direct. I can do six different ways as long as I don't hit that 12 gig mark, and I'm happy. So, enough of that soapbox. We'll move forward. 4.3 is rolling out, as I said. Three official builds. Well, not official, but three stable builds are out right now. Paranoid Android Crew has released the 4.3 official. CM10.2 is out for a majority of your Samsung and HTC devices. Some of those are coming out and reporting official. Others are not. Make sure that if you are in the developer community and you're a rooter and ROMer, that you're checking to make sure that your device is on the approved. Obviously, stock ROMs coming out for the Nexus 4, Nexus 7. Multiple ports showing out every day, expanding to the different devices. HTC, obviously, Samsung, LG, and the big three. Those are getting a lot of your rollouts for 4.3. Little tips, little tricks, twists, turns, ups, downs, pros, cons, you know, it all happens when there's a new release because everybody's trying to get it to work right the first time. Big question, have I gone to 4.3 yet or 10.2? No, I haven't. Still a few too many bugs for me. If I'm going to use it as my daily driver, it just needs to work, okay? It needs to work all the time. I don't have a backup, and that's, I mean, I've got to be able to know that this ROM works on my device. That's just all there is to it. I can't take a chance. So, you know, we'll just keep an eye on the 4.3 because it's continuing to move. It's continuing to roll out. And it's going to do nothing but get better and more exciting as time goes by. Okay, so last week, I get this email from my buddy Only One Mart. You can check out Only One Mart and what he's doing on the blogtalkradio.com/eatmygoalnetwork, where he and the Brits break down soccer or football, whichever way you want to look at it, whichever side of the pond you're living on it. But Only One Mart sends me this article, and you can Google this and get all the gist of it. But basically, UK smartphone users wary of 4G. It's something that's put up by BBC News. And if you Google it, you'll be able to find it. I've tried it. It works. But the bottom line is this article was citing that many UK individuals are not very confident in the transfer to 3G, 4G. Now, granted, 3G, 4G, it's popular over here. LTE is popular over here in the States. I know nothing about anything UK. So I put together an email, threw the link into it, sent it over to my boys across the pond because I do know quite a few people all over the place. Got a couple responses back. First one comes in from Obi-Wan Jabroni. You can check him out on the Ninja Geek Network as he co-hosts on the Fat Ninja Game Talk radio show. It says, and I quote, "That's quite true. No one cares for it here if it means they have to pay extra. I think that's pretty much the case in most countries and not just here. You also have to consider battery life on phones that will use 4G. 3G is bad enough right now." Which, Obi has a pretty good point. Okay? I mean, 3G, 4G, it sucks battery life. Over there in the UK, you know, according to this article, a lot of people are raising their eyebrows. A lot of folks aren't sure what, you know, what to think, what to say, what to do. Yeah, sure, it'll be faster. But you got to think about it. Something else as well that has been mentioned is there's Wi-Fi a lot of places. A lot of places offer Wi-Fi. So if you're on Wi-Fi and you can get 5, 10, 15, why would you want to go down to 3G, 4G? I also got a response from A.H. Walker, currently in university for information technology over there across the pond. 4G will be used, however, not for a while. If 3G has shown us anything, it's that it can only be used in small chunks at a time to save battery and money. I can only imagine that 4G is 10 times worse. Now going back to this article, and I quote, "Part of people's reluctance to upgrade may be because of the binding nature of their mobile contracts. 3 in 10 smartphone users said they would like to upgrade to 4G, but are waiting until their current contract expires to avoid termination charges." And this is coming from a survey conducted by Ofcom. Another one said, 4G is new. Doesn't mean much to consumers. Any technology is tangible. People ask, what does it mean to me? End quote. What does it mean to you? Okay, now granted, if I were in a situation where I had Wi-Fi available to me majority of the time, would I need 12 gigs of mobile data? Probably not. Okay? If I were in a situation where I had Wi-Fi available to me a lot of times, for example, on a college or university campus, would I need 3G, 4G? Probably not. Once again, it's the way you utilize the service. What are you looking for? What do you want? How do you want it to work for you? You know, this is just one of those things that I don't know anything about it. I understand what this article says, but when it comes to being educated on this, I don't know. Like I said, I sent out an email. Obi-Wan Jabroni and A.H. Walker replied, "Thanks, guys. You know, I definitely appreciate it." You know, the article, it also goes on and it breaks down the benefits of 4G, you know, consistency, faster, more reliable, better for video and music streaming, mobile gaming, sending emails, large attachments, etc. But, you know, it's like adding dial-up to broadband. You know, if you've already got broadband and Wi-Fi, why do you need it? And from what I understand, Wi-Fi networks are pretty sophisticated over across the pond. So, you know, thanks again, Mart. I do definitely appreciate the article. And as always, if anybody out there has anything that they want to send into the trending mobile technology, please let me know. PipeOfTheDJ@gmail.com. Now, 4.3 has come out, as I've said. And there's lots of different people that are coming out with their top uses. You know, most of these folks are coming out as Nexus users, citing, you know, they like the restricted profiles. You can put, you know, like a kid partition on it, stuff like that, so they can't access your bookmarks. They can only do what they want it to. You've got the high-performance graphics, Bluetooth support, smart Bluetooth, low-power Bluetooth, notifications, etc., better digital rights for Netflix, etc. You know, just the lists are starting to come out. Okay, as far as I'm concerned, I'm more geared toward the Bluetooth management and the graphics. Okay, I like the graphics management because that's going to mean better battery life. I like the low power Bluetooth because that means better battery life. That means better performance for my device. And that's, you know, that's what I look for. I'm always looking for a better way to improve my device and make it better than what it already is. And that's just, you know, unfortunately, that's the way I utilize my device. That's the way that it works for me. And I can't really argue with it, just for the simple fact that, you know, why would I want anything different? Okay, a lot of people, they like to use their device for games, they like to use their device for various other things. You know, I prefer to be able to get my device to be able to last all day, and B, do what I want it to do. So that when I need it, I can have it. I don't need to have to worry about carrying around two different chargers with me for this, that, or anything else. I don't have to worry about, okay, so I can play a game for 20 minutes now, But if I do that, then I won't have anything for when I go to school. You know, I want it to be able to last the whole time. From the time I take it off the charger to the time I plug it back in, I don't want to have to worry about running out of power. Because if I'm in class and I need my phone for something and it needs to charge, guess what? I'm screwed. Fail. It doesn't work. All right? I want to be able to utilize the device I need to. And for me, battery efficiency and performance are two big things on my list. Last story that I've got coming in for you. This comes in from Brian from Tunes. He currently is not on the Trending Topics Network, but he and Jack just might pop in on occasion. Basically, it quotes, this coming from McCathy.com, Google's call for open internet hedged in its own rules. And this came out of Washington. The short answer to this is Google went out and said in their terms of service that if you're in an area, at this particular point, Kansas City, Missouri, where you utilize the Google Fiber project, you may not utilize a server on the network. Now, when the story first came out, it caused a great big old uproar. A lot of people got upset saying, oh, you know, Google says that everything should be open, and now they're putting limitations and restrictions. Stop. Time out. Pump the brakes. You want to know why? Because, number one, Google was going to be renting bandwidth to providers in Kansas City to help take some of the strain off the backbone. And number two, Google didn't want to have to worry about NAT transfer jams. All right? Is this a good thing? Is this a bad thing? You know, it's all in the terms of service, folks. Google is the provider in this instance. Google can do whatever they want. If you don't like it, find another provider. Okay? I mean, all these people getting all upset. You know, it's a liberal organization. They can change the rules to fit their agenda. You know, blah, blah, blah. But here's the thing. Google are the folks that are running this project. It is up to them, and it is at their discretion how and what is utilized on their service. Now, they didn't say that you can't do it. They just said you need permission. Okay, so if I want to set up an email provider or a Minecraft server or some type of game server or something like that, write it up, fill out the proper paperwork, even though I hate paperwork, send it off to them, they send it back, say yes or no. What they're probably trying to see, A, they want to make sure that their backbone can handle everything that's running through, and B, like if you're running an email server, that's something that's going to be transferring megs upon megs upon megs an hour. It's something that's constantly going to be reaching out. So you're talking a lot of traffic, okay? There could be reason for it to be a little unstable. There could be reason and legitimately for a time for it to be limited. Brian asked if this could be a problem for Google in the future. No. Brian asked if this could be a problem in the mobile industry. No. Because mobile devices, although they can access wireless, it still doesn't affect. Because unless you're running a mail server out of your house, majority of wireless devices utilize a cloud resource. Now, if you submit the paperwork and run it through Google and they say, yeah, sure, you can run a mail server out of your house. You can run a file server or whatever, you know, Minecraft server. You know, that works fine, all good and well. But the problem that I see is what are you going to do if you need to access that server and it gets locked down or it gets stuck in a NAT transfer traffic jam, or it's unavailable because there's somebody else who's utilizing it. Okay? make sure your ducks are in a row, folks. That's just all there is to it. I mean, that's a simple part. That's an easy answer. You know, Google is doing what they want to do, and they can. You know, Google is at the forefront of these debates because it's trying to push the envelope on broadband offerings while still trying to turn a profit. This came from a spokesman from Google. Like a bar owner or a central banker, it is to encourage exuberance while curbing the obvious harms of irrational exuberance. It's a tough line to walk. But at the same time, Google's trying to offer a service and saying if you want to utilize this service, you may, under these conditions. If you don't like it, go get something else. It's like the argument that I continually have with people. Android, iOS, Windows. If you don't like the way one works, switch. I'm not saying my choice is right. I'm not saying your choice is right. I'm not saying somebody else's choice is right. What do you want your device to work? I was having a conversation with somebody the other day. They're an iPhone user. Okay? I've spoken plenty of times. It's not that I hate iPhone. I rather something else. Okay? Am I out to change their mind? No. Are they out to change my mind? They can try. They'll probably fail, but they can try. I'll listen to anybody. I'll talk to anybody. But it all boils down to what do you want your device to do? Do you want it to just make phone calls and do text messaging? Well, then, you know, Android, iOS, or Windows isn't your thing. Do you want to be able to access Google Plus, Play Ingress, check your email, you know, manage 5 different email accounts, manage Microsoft push options, manage iCloud services, manage various other cloud services? Then we can start to focus the search a little bit. Okay? The bottom line, what do you want it to do? What do you want it to do? That's what this whole thing stems around. It's not saying that Android's right. It's not saying that iOS is right. It's not saying that Windows Mobile's right, which, by the way, Windows Mobile 8 on their seamless integration mobile to desktop is getting better. By the way, the new 8.1 build where they didn't bring back the start menu, but they did some fine-tuning and reintegration. Yeah, that's improving. Where it was like a 4, I'll put it like a 6.5 now out of 10. So if Windows is something that you're interested in, don't put them down for the count yet, because I think they've got a couple good things in their back pocket still. And by the way, BlackBerry at this point in time are reporting that they're probably going to go private again, because of certain issues and various other things going on. You know, I'm going to have to tell you to tune in next week, because Old School, he is really an authority when it comes to BlackBerry, and he knows a lot more about BlackBerry than I do, seeing as he is Canadian and they are a Canadian-owned company. But, you know, once again, folks, next week, Mr. Old School is going to be on, and he and I are going to have it out. We're going to lay a lot of these things to rest. He's going to answer a lot of my questions concerning security on your mobile device. BYOD is going to come up. I'm going to get his opinion on some of the new devices that are out there. You know, it's just, I always enjoy having Old School on. It's a lot of fun. It's just, he always brings something good to the table, and I always enjoy it. So next week's Mr. Old School. The week after that, I have a longtime iOS user. I'm going to do an iOS interview right here on Trending Mobile Technology. My buddy Daryl, he's going to be coming in. He's been a longtime iOS user. He has just recently merged over and integrated Android into his workspace. So remember how a couple weeks ago I was talking about Consumer Reports said where the trend at one point in time was immerse yourself in one ecospace. Now it is immerse yourself in the best of all worlds. This is what Daryl has done. and this is the direction he's going in. I'm going to have him on the air, and we're just going to go back and forth and have some conversations about the way that it's working out for him. Week after that, Joe B's coming on. He'll be hanging out with me again, and then we will just be moving on. I got lots of neat stuff going on in the works. I'm going to be making some changes. I'll have my studio set up soon, and just lots of neat stuff going on here with Piper the DJ and the Trending Mobile Technology Studios. As always, folks, make sure you check in here, TrendingTopicsNetwork.com. We got lots of stuff coming out every day, okay? I'm going to get myself back on my schedule to where I'm getting things out on a regular amount of time. I know this one's going to be a little bit late, and I do apologize, but, you know, it's all part of the show, right? Sometimes you run past your deadline on occasion. But from all of us to all of you, until next week, this is episode 47. I'm going to say goodnight. Good night.